It is good to see everyone today on this ninth day of December as we are sharing our third Christmas message in our series for Christmas 2018. A message I've entitled, He That Has Seen Me, John chapter 14, verse 5 through 10 is where we're going to be today. Our first message was called A Father and Son Story, because that's what Christmas is. It's the story of a father and a son. And we looked at the angel's message as he said time and again, this child that shall be born of you, Mary, is not like any other human being. He shall be called the Son of God. And Mary said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said unto her, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and overshadow you. So the miraculous method of the conception of Jesus Christ and this baby in Bethlehem, what child is this? The only child since creation that was born without an earthly father. And so we meditate on that. The miracle of the conception of Jesus Christ. And then last week we saw the great I Am in the manger. Jesus told the Pharisees, before Abraham was, I am. And they picked up stones to stone him. I think we look at a scripture today where they pick up stones to stone him. And he was speaking of his timelessness. You know, Jesus came into the world at Bethlehem, but he did not come into existence then. He said, I am from everlasting to everlasting. Before the world began, I beheld your glory, my Father. And so what child is this in this manger? He is the eternal God. Come to earth in humility and in love and in a desire to save us all. So today we see Jesus make another statement in John 14, verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? The Lord said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you in heaven that where I am, you may be also. Jesus says, no man comes unto the Father but by me. And in verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. And then Philip says, Lord, show us the Father and it'll satisfy. Jesus said, Have I been so long time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father dwells in me. He's the one that has done all these works. Amen. Wednesday night, I'm going to probably finish this point for y'all about where he says, believe me for the work's sake. There are two very close words that are in the Greek that are just astonishing. But we're going to focus on the intrinsic personality of Christ today. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, you said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. But Lord Jesus, you were literally saying, he that has seen me has seen God. The revelation of God on earth. And Father, with our eyes of faith, we can see you. With our hearts, we can see you. And at this time of the year, let us make sure when we're seeing everything else, family and friends and presents and trees and dinners and celebrations, Lord, let us stop and see you for who you are and for what you've done for us. And may it drive us to our knees as the wise men in adoration and praise like the shepherds. Father, let us come into your presence. Lord, I ask you today to forgive me a daily sin and weekly sin. I confess these things to you. And I ask, Father, that you would forgive me with your mercy and cleanse me by your blood. And fill me with your Spirit and anoint me now as we study your word. In your glorious name we pray. Amen. If you have seen me, you have seen God. Go with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. There are many today that say Jesus was a great prophet and a great man. Jesus didn't say that about himself. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen God. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So I want to paraphrase this for you. In verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Word is God. And in verse 14, it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh at Bethlehem. So I'm going to paraphrase again and say, God became flesh at Bethlehem. Now, Brother Leo, how in the world are you saying that? I'm not saying it. The Word of God is saying it. God became flesh at Bethlehem. Who was Jesus? Jesus was God. But notice what he says in verse 14. He dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in verse 18 he says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the heart of the Father, he hath declared him to us. So I want to make 2 points about this baby in Bethlehem. Number one, and we'll come back to it, is we beheld his glory. Whose glory? The Word's glory. Jesus' glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. So what that is saying is the glory of Jesus was the glory of God. The glory of Jesus was the glory of the Father. The glory of Jesus was one and the same with the glory of the Father. Now I'm going to bet 90% of the people that are listening to me on the website have no idea what I just said. Because you got to know that word glory, which is doxa, and we'll look at it in a moment. But you will understand it before we leave. But the second point is this. Verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, the one and only Son, which is in the heart of the Father, he hath declared him to us. The one and only declaration of and revelation of God is Jesus Christ. You can write that down. The one and only declaration of and revelation of God is Jesus Christ. Oprah Winfrey and the humanists in America will tell you there are 500 truths out there and you can get to God anyway, and we just respect the way everybody believes, and we've got room for everybody, and you can just believe anything and you go out there and you pursue your own God. Well, my friend, as an American, you've got the freedom to be able to do that. I will support your freedom to do that, but you are wrong. There is only one declaration and revelation of God, and that is Jesus Christ. And that's what that scripture says, but I've got more. Go with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. So this is a monumental event 2 years ago when God Himself is born in a manger. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 27 says this. Jesus speaking, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knows the Son but the Father. No man knows any man the Father except the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now what's he saying there? He's saying nobody can know the Father in the way that I know the Father, so I'm the only one that can reveal him. I'm the only one that can reveal him. I grew up in Charleston, South Carolina. My father grew up in Charleston, South Carolina, and his father before him. I know my father better than anybody in this room could ever come close to knowing my father. So I'm the only one that can really tell you about my father. Now, Cameron's met my father, and Keith's met my father, and some of you have met my father when he's visited here, and you could say something about him based on the fact that you've met him, but nobody knows my father the way I know him. So if somebody really wants to know about my dad, I, based on my relationship with him, can share that with you. That's what Jesus is saying. I was with him in heaven. I was with him before creation. I've been with him in all times. So the one and only revelation of God on earth can only be Jesus Christ. So if you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. If you know me, Philip, you know the Father. If you've got a relationship with me, Philip, you've got a relationship with God himself. Now, look at this scripture. Go back to John chapter 6. There are folks that go to church every Sunday, and there are two things they don't understand. They do not understand the relationship of Jesus Christ within the deity and the Godhead, and they do not understand the reality of the Holy Spirit and the indwelling thereof. And they go to church every Sunday. And a lot of the guys in the pulpits can't tell them. And it's a great, great tragedy. It really is. In John chapter 6, verse 46, it says this: not that any man has seen the Father. No man has seen the Father. Only he which is of God, he has seen the Father. Verse 47, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me hath everlasting life. So the only one that can show you the Father is the only one that has seen the Father. And that's Jesus. And he says, anybody that believes on me has everlasting life. I believe what Jesus says, he said. I believe that Jesus is the only one that's seen the Father. I believe that Jesus is the only one that knows the Father. And I believe that Jesus is the only one that can reveal the Father. And I believe that the only way I can get to the Father is through Jesus Christ. And so he came down to earth to be the only declaration of and revelation of God to man. So that's point number one. Jesus came down to earth. He is the only declaration of and revelation of God. So go back to John chapter 1. Brother Leo, I've never heard that in my life. Well, we're going to look more at it. But when somebody says, what is Christmas? They're going to expect you to say, the birth of Jesus Christ. Well, you can take them a little bit deeper. You can say Christmas is when God came to earth to declare and reveal himself to man. And that's what it is. That's what it is. It's when God came to earth to declare himself and reveal himself to man. And we can start teaching our children and our grandchildren that, and they can grow up in this understanding. Now, in John 1:14, we find point number two in this part of the message today. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. So, what they're saying is, when you saw the glory of Jesus Christ, you saw the glory of God Himself. The glory of Jesus and the glory of God are one in the same. Now, what in the world does this word glory translated mean? Well, the original word in the Greek is doxa, D-O-X-A, doxa. And it can mean glory, I guess, in a King James kind of a way. But that is not the Greek. It's really glory. The glory of God is a result of the doxa. It's not the doxa itself. The definition of doxa is this. Doxa is the true nature and substance of what something is intrinsically. The true nature and substance of what something is intrinsically. So, Kelly, we're going to go to chemistry class. This is a water molecule. Okay? I know it's really two pieces of Kleenex balled together. But for our purpose, it is a water molecule, and it is made up of two elements, hydrogen and oxygen. The hydrogen and the oxygen are the doxa of water, the intrinsic substance of what water is. The components of water are hydrogen and oxygen, the atoms. And that makes up the element of a water molecule. So when you're studying what is the doxa of God, it is the true nature and substance of what something is, of what God is, or of who God is. It is the qualities of, the substance of, the nature of. The qualities of, the substance of, the nature of. Now, Kelly, I want you to understand, if I had a glass of water, it would be made up of oxygen and hydrogen. If I had an ice cube, it would be made up of oxygen and hydrogen. Now, this ice cube is not this glass of water, but they have the same exact doxa. Yes. Do you understand what I'm saying? The same exact doxa. If I had an ice cube over here and a drop of water right here, you've still got two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. Though they take different personas and different forms, they are one in the same intrinsically. Their components, their substance, their nature, their qualities are one in the same. So go with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. What child is this? And in John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says this, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all." Now, what's he saying here? He's giving you a clue about how he humbled himself when he left heaven to become subservient to the Father. But in the beginning, there was no problem with equality with God. They were one and the same within the Godhead. But notice what he says here. "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand, my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." I and my Father are one. Now, I want to give you two Greek words for one. The first one is heis, H-E-I-S, and that means numerically one. I'm holding up one pair of glasses. Numerically one. That's not the word used there, H-E-I-S. But that's the Greek word, heis. The word used there is hen, H-E-N. And it means this. It means one in essence, one in quality, one in substance, one in nature. So if I were to hold up a drop of water and I were to hold up an ice cube, I'd say this ice cube and this water are one and the same in their components. And that's what Jesus is saying there. I and the Father am one. If you have seen the Father, you have seen, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I mean, when you look at your nativity and you look at your manger scene, this is the most amazing thing we can imagine. The most amazing thing. The glory of God is who or what God is. When you get there, I'll let you write it down. Hebrews 1. The glory of God is who and what God is. It's who God is and it is what God is. That's what doxa means. The glory of God is who and what God is essentially and intrinsically within His essential being, what makes Him up, His components, His qualities. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, the Scripture said, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners has revealed Himself unto us. In verse 2, He hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, and by whom also He made the worlds. That's John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and all things were made by the Word. So the Hebrew writer is telling us, Jesus didn't come into existence at Bethlehem. He always existed. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person upholds all things and sustains all things in creation by the word of His power. I want to grab two phrases. Number one is the brightness of His glory. There's that word again, dots. Who by the shining forth of His persona, of its personality, of His intrinsic qualities. Now, that word brightness in the Hebrew, APAUGASMA, it means to shine forth or to emit light. Understand, brightness is always used in the Scripture as a metaphor for revelation. What do you mean, the book of Revelation? No, I mean personal revelation. You ever heard somebody say, you know, a light just went off in my brain? That means something came to you. So light in the Word of God is always for personal revelation. So when it says there the brightness of His glory, it means Jesus is the shining forth from heaven to earth of the nature, glory, and substance of God. Write that down. Jesus is the shining forth from heaven to earth of the nature, glory, and substance of God. I'll say it again. Jesus is the shining forth from heaven to earth of the nature, glory, and substance of God. You know the last thing Jesus calls Himself in the book of Revelation? He goes, I'm the bright morning star. So when you see Venus, that bright morning star, and that light's being emitted from thousands of light years away, and it's coming into your vision, and the light that you're seeing actually started thousands and ten thousands and hundreds of thousands of years ago before it gets to you, I want you to understand that that's what Jesus is. He's the shining forth of the glory, the essence, the nature, the substance, the quality of God from heaven to earth. Now I can relate to Him. I grab hold of Him. He was a babe in a manger. He was a man fishing. He died on a cross. He rose again. He became a brother so He can make me a brother. Say, Brother Leo, where did you get that scripture? That's Hebrews. He became the first of many brethren. He became a son so He can make me a son. But He is the brightness, the revelation of the glory, the substance, and nature of God from heaven to earth. We're going to come back there, but go to 2 Corinthians 4. I want you to see that light means revelation. Personal revelation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, Paul says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, we're going to look at that in a moment, should shine unto them, For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined into our hearts to give us the light, the understanding, the revelation of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face and in the life of Jesus Christ. So that light is revelation. He shines forth. Emmanuel, God is here. Christmas means God has left heaven and He's come to earth. And Jesus Christ is the manifestation, the representation, the declaration of God intrinsically to man. The personality of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the healing of God, the patience of God, all the attributes of God I see in the life of Jesus Christ. How do I know God loves me? Because Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, and a man will lay down his life for his friends. Well, wait a minute, Brother Leo. I thought that the Bible says God is love. So I know God loves me because the Bible says God is love. No, my friend, anybody can say, you can say Leo is love. The only way you know I love you is by the way I treat you and what I do for you. And so Jesus Christ, not just God is love, love died on the cross for me. That's how much He loved me. He gave His life. People say all the time, I read that from Max Lucado, He said, people always say, they say it, I love you, everybody love you. He said, the only way you know somebody loves you is by the way they treat you. It's the only way you know it. And have you ever heard somebody say, oh, well, I love you in my own way? That's like a drug addict telling me, well, I did better this week, Brother Leo. I just hit on meth 4 times instead of 40. But I'm doing good. There's no loving in your own way. It's not relative, it's absolute. And God is love by giving His all. Yes. He gave His all. So go back. Light is revelation. But let me give you this definition. Go back to Hebrews chapter 1. And let me show you exactly what this scripture is saying. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the scripture says this. Jesus being the brightness of His glory. That simply means the revelation, the declaration, the shining forth of the qualities, the nature, the personality, and the holiness of God. That's who Jesus is. And then he backs it up with this. And is the express image of His person. That word express image is one word in the Greek, and we can pronounce it character, but it's C-H-A-R-A-K-T-E-R. Character. That word translated by the King James into express image means exact representation of. And so I'm going to read it to you this way. Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God's divine being. The express image is the exact representation of that word person means God's divine being. So you can write it this way. And many translations have written it this way, so I'm not giving you something that hadn't already been written. Jesus Christ is the exact revelation and representation of God's divine being. The exact, one and the same. There is nothing different intrinsically between the Father and the Son. Nothing different essentially between the Father and the Son. The Father is light. The Son took on a body. There's two different forms. There's a glass of water and an ice cube. But they're one and the same. When you get to glory, you're not going to see somebody that looks like Zeus sitting on a throne. Some guy with long white hair and a big long beard and a thunderbolt in one hand and something else in another and say, oh, that's God the Father. And then over here, you're going to see a guy with sandals on and a robe, and you're going to say, that's God the Son. No, the only revelation you're going to see in bodily form is Jesus Christ. However, at the throne of God, I do believe the light of the splendor of God will be emanating. Of the Father. But I want you to understand, there is nothing biblical. When John says, you know, the Father and the Son are on the throne in Revelation, he's talking about their presence, not their forms. Now, they're there in presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E. But the presence of God is light. The form of the Son is going to be the glorified body, the resurrected body. You'd be on the dean's list at Louisville Seminary. I'm serious. This is good stuff. So he is the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. And you know what a lot of people say, and I don't mean to digress. They'll say, that stuff's just too deep. You know, you'll ask a Christian a question like, you know, explain to me, oh, that's just too deep. You know, you need to go talk to the preacher. My friend, I want you to understand, there is no preacher. It's the priesthood of the believer, and the Holy Spirit's your teacher. And I believe the great majority of you that are in this room today and the great majority that are listening on this website can and are understanding what the Scriptures are saying. God didn't bring us the Word of God not to understand it. He brought it to us so we could understand it. But let me give you one more. Go to Colossians chapter 2. And I close with this. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 1, there is controversy where false teachers are saying Jesus Christ is not God. And in verse 1, he says this, Paul says, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as I have not seen my face in the flesh." I'm writing you a letter, but I need to come look you eye to eye. "That your hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and in all riches of the full assurance of understanding." Full assurance of understanding. People are getting confused by false teachers. "To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." What is that, Bro Leo? That could have been the title of the message. Okay. "A full understanding of the mystery of God as it relates to the Father and Jesus Christ." That's what I'm teaching. A mystery is simply mysterion. And that means something that has just been revealed or hadn't been revealed. "In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge," in the Father and the Son. So in verse 8 he goes, "Beware, don't let any man mess you up through false teaching, philosophy, and vain deceit after the tradition of men. After the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." They're not teaching you Christ. "For in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Now, what does that mean? That word Godhead is theotes, T-H-E-O-T-E-S. And it means deity as it applies to personality and character. Deity as it applies to personality and character. Now, I'm not going to take you to the other verses. There's another word, theiotes, T-H-E-I-O-T-E-S. T-H-E-I-O-T-E-S. I may teach this Wednesday night. The iotes also speaks to deity, but it's as it's revealed by his power and majesty. So when Jesus says unto, see, I never understood this till now. When Jesus says unto Philip, Philip, have you not known me personally? Have you not known my character and my personality? And he goes, you know, just knowing my character and personality, you ought to know that I'm of God. And then he says, or else, believe me for the work's sake. Well, the work's sake, he's using that other Godhead, deity. I'm going to go ahead and show you because you got kids rehearsing in the back. Go to Romans chapter 1. See, Godhead's used again in Romans 1, but it's not the same word in the Greek. There are inflections in the Greek vocabulary, and it changes everything. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, the scripture says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood. Anytime you see that word Godhead in a verse, it's talking about the revelation of God. The writers are trying to reveal God to you. And so he goes on to say this, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are out without excuse. See, that's that theiotes word. That means we can know who God is by looking at his power as it has been exhibited. You look at creation and know God's the creator. The word I'm sharing with you today, go back to Colossians, has nothing to do with his power. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In Colossians 2 means the divine intrinsic personality and character of God are fully enveloped in the body of Jesus. His divine personality and character. The divine personality, character, and holiness of God is fully encased in the body of Jesus Christ. See, these false teachers were saying he was just a man. So let me close out where we started. Go back to John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, verse 5, Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way. And Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth and the life. The only way you're going to get to the Father is by me. You don't know me. If you had known me, you'd have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him, and you have seen him. And Philip goes, we've never seen the Father. And Jesus goes, how long? I've been with you 3.5 years. And you don't know me personally, Philip? You don't feel my heart and my holiness? If you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father. And how do you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and all the qualities of the Father are in me? The words that I speak unto you, I'm not just a separate entity speaking of myself, but the Father dwells in me, his personality, his character, his holiness, and all that. And even his power, because he's the one that does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Put a line right there. That's personality, character, intrinsic. Or else, believe me because you've seen the works. Right. Amen. That's that second word. The iotes. Not in that scripture, but that's what it's speaking to. So God has revealed himself in two ways. He's revealed himself by Jesus Christ. What child is this? God himself born in a manger. And he has revealed himself by his works. Creation. Parting the Red Sea. Healing the blind. Rising from the dead. And all of that, the personality of God, the works of God, all of that is given to us in His Word. So when you're reading the Word of God, you are receiving the revelation of God Himself. The only way we can gain an understanding is through what's been written to us. So, what is Christmas? It's God leaving heaven to declare Himself and reveal Himself to humanity. A father and son story? Certainly. The great I Am in the manger? Yes. And when you look in the manger, Mary, did you know? When you kiss the face of your baby, you've kissed the face of God. What truth? I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And would you just spend a few minutes praising Jesus for who He is? Just in silent prayer, just saying, Lord Jesus, I just praise You for who You are. You are God Himself, and You love me, and You came to earth for me, and You have saved me. Give the Lord a gift of Christmas. Give Him the praise and honor due His name for just a few seconds.